I'm not trying a sober living environment.
A rehab relapse?
She came to me and asked to sleep on the couch for a couple nights. She was homeless and she had gone back to using drugs.
Or
I don't care about all the drama that went on in the house.
Did everyone lose self-control?
Was anybody drinking during this drama?
No, Your Honor.
So everybody was sober during this drama. Even worse.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Ruby Bloom is suing her former landlord, Melanie Stilo, for the return of rent and for damaging her belongings when she put them out of the house.
Order. All rise.
Case number 6 on the calendar, the matter of Bloom versus Stilo.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Tell me where you met Ms. Bloom.
I met her in a sober living environment.
When?
November 2011.
And you were both at that time residents?
Yes.
At some point, she reconnected with you and moved into your home.
Correct.
That time, according to what I read, you had a sober living facility yourself, and then you stopped being a sober living facility, and she just came in. And according to you and her, she rented a room.
Yes.
And when she rented the room, she went away for months. She had some money. She went to Europe. She did whatever she did. I don't care what she did. But she brought in, according to her, a very expensive bed. And she wants two things, her bed. And she says she paid you the beginning of the month of February 2014, and you evicted her, told her not to come back when she left the house, also in February of 2014, so she wants her rent back. That's what your case is about.
Yes.
So I'm going to keep it simple for me, because I don't care about all the drama that went on in the house. I really don't care. Was anybody drinking during this drama?
No, Your Honor.
So everybody was sober during this drama? Even worse.
Now,
how much rent did she pay you in February of 2014?
$100.
$100?
Cash.
How much rent did you pay her in February of 2014?
$450.
That sounds more like it. In cash or check?
A combination of both, actually.
Well, tell me.
Can I show you?
Yes.
Okay. $257.14. Via check.
$257.14.
Yes.
That's an odd number.
Yes.
Where did you get that odd number from?
I moved in the last week of January 2014. That time, our agreement verbally was that I was going to pay her $400 a month to sleep on the couch because there were no rooms available. When I moved in the last week of January, I paid her the $100 cash because it was going to be $100 per week. After a week had gone by, we made a written contract that I would share a bedroom with one of the other roommates for $450 per month. So at that time, I gave her another $200 towards February, and then a couple days later, I wrote the rest of the prorated rent for February, which came into the amount of $257.14.
Because it was 4 1/3 weeks in a month, is that the reason?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, but the only evidence that you have is the $257.14.
Actually, on the second page, Your Honor, is a text message that I had with the other roommate showing that she gave $200 to Melanie.
The other roommate is?
Leslie.
Leslie.
Yes.
I am.
Leslie, stand up. Leslie, move over there. Listen to me carefully, Leslie.
I am.
Carefully. Did you give Ms. Stilo any money that Miss Bloom gave to you for her? Before you answer, I want you to think very carefully. Will you give the money to Mel if she is there? And you wrote back, gave it to her. Think carefully before you answer me.
Then I must have. That's really all I can say, Your Honor, is she did. I must have given it to her. I would not have kept it.
Just a second.
I'm
then
sorry.
You must have given it to her.
Yes.
Must have given what to her?
The cash. It was in an envelope.
So she gave it to you in an envelope?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Perfect. Now you can sit down. Very good. I'm really efficient at my job. I mean, I can't change a tire. I can't change a battery. I'm not even good at changing a roll of toilet paper. But I'm really good at my job. Do you understand? You got it. Good. Okay. Now, since I'm satisfied that she paid you for the month of February, madam, you're going to tell me why you evicted her and when.
Okay. First of all.
Date that you evicted her.
I did not evict her.
Date that you told her not to come back.
The date on the civil standby that I called for the police.
Tell me
was
the date.
On February 10th, 2014.
Oh, now you're going to tell me why. So she paid for February, and you got an order to evict her. Now, tell me why.
She...
Look at me. Don't look at the paper.
Okay.
Look at me. It's not so long ago.
Okay. She came to me and asked to sleep on the couch for a couple nights. She was homeless, and she had gone back to using drugs. I agreed to let her come in and sleep on the bottom of my spa floor. I own a day spa in my own house. I didn't have a room available. She could use the couch or my spa floor. And she said, all I have is $100 cash. I said, okay.
I'm talking about February.
Okay, so she never left.
Listen to me. I've already, through your witness and this check which you cashed, determined that she gave you over $400. So listen to me very carefully. Why did you get a civil standby to evict her from your house?
Because that is not an accurate check. She made that through my bank statements. They never did receive a check. She stole it out of my room the night that she printed a bank statement out. She stole a deposit ticket. She had a check that she fraudulently made up. I have bank statements for the month of January and February that show that that check did not go through. It also, as a result, my PG&E bill bounced. The bank reversed it. That was never a check that I ever received.
You it endorsed shows, it.
Yeah, it shows that I, yes.
And it shows that you endorsed it.
Correct.
Right. You didn't tell me why you threw her out.
She hadn't paid any rent.
Okay, and that's your answer.
Yes.
Stand up. You're so far a very good witness. I'm going to let you continue. Do you understand?
I'm such
you
a pleasure.
Understand?
Thank you. Yes.
Good. So far, we understand each other. I
yes,
knew that we,
do.
We would get each other.
Well, you do.
I want you to explain to me the kerfuffle that went on in the house in February between these people and what it was about.
As far as the bed goes, is that what you're referring
yes.
to?
Yes.
Okay. We had another resident move in to where Ruby had been staying prior to that when she came in for her surgery. And he was offered the choice of a bed and move that other bed out and move a regular bed in.
Was that her bed?
It was Ruby's bed,
okay.
Yes.
So,
and he chose the bed that was in there because he didn't want to go through all that hassle of moving the bed out because it's a very heavy bed.
Now, the bed that was in there was Ruby's bed?
Yes, ma'am.
So he slept
bed.
In Ruby's bed?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
So that's what it was about. He was sleeping in Ruby's very expensive posturpedic bed.
She allowed that.
Fine. And so what happened?
So then she decided she wanted the bed back. And so she started making all kinds of arrangements and plans to get the bed to move it into my room. It obviously wouldn't fit in my room because she was staying in my room with me just because I felt sorry for her sleeping on the couch. And so we realized it wasn't going to fit in there. So then there was a scuffle between, not a physical scuffle, I'm not referring, just a word confrontation. And Ruby decided that she was going to go plant all these redwood trees for whatever reason, and she was going to go away for the weekend. And in the meantime, you know, we all got to know each other. I didn't know Ruby when she first moved in, and actually we're all, I moved in, you probably don't even care.
What I want to know is,
okay,
that was what precipitated
the problem.
The problem.
Exactly, because that Chip was sleeping on her bed.
Her bed, and that was on or around February 10th.
Right, okay. And she had left the bed since she went on her cruises and
she
took
left
a hike
a while ago.
Yeah.
I got it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Punitive damages to pain and suffering. Other than my pain and suffering and having to endure this, what other pain and suffering are you talking about? Stand up. Standing like attitude. There's only one attitude here, and that's mine.
And later today.
We happened to look right out of the window, and I seen a gentleman here smash into the side of her car. No screeching, no trying to stop.
Could you tell who had a green light and who had a red light?
Real K. cases, real people, Judge Judy. Ruby Bloom says, former landlord Melanie Stilo owes for the return of rent and damage she caused to her bed. Melanie is countersuing for storage fees and property damage.
Now, I want you to tell me how you were advised by the defendant not to come home.
On February 10th, I received a phone call from Melanie when I was out running errands. She informed me that I was on speakerphone, and in the background, I heard the other tenant, the male tenant who was sleeping on the bed, screaming his lungs off. He was very angry.
Had you told him you were taking the bed?
The night before, yes.
The night before you were told him you were taking the bed?
Yes, I asked.
Okay. All I'm asking you is, was it during that phone conversation on February 10th that the defendant told you not to come
home? Yes.
Okay. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fine. Then don't give me baloney about rent. You owe $400 for the whole month of February. Now, you don't get your mattress back. Period. The end. The goodbye. Now I'm going to get to her counterclaim, which is going to be equally as fast. You want money for storage fees, value of property damage, plus punitive damages due to pain and suffering. Stand up. You're standing like attitude. There's only one attitude here, and that's mine. What storage fees do you think she owes you for?
She left her bed from September.
Forget it. You let your tenant use it. Value of property damage. What property did she damage?
She damaged the carpet, the walls.
Forget it. Punitive damages to pain and suffering. Other than my pain and suffering and having to endure this, what other pain and suffering are you talking about?
I closed down my spa for 2 weeks because of her harassment.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $400. Thank you very much.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She was living out of her car. Her family had turned against her.
She doesn't know anything about my life.
That's what drugs does to you. I hope that she...
Really, Melanie, I mean, just they're all nuts.
Finds recovery. I really do.
I mean, I'm glad that I'm out of the house.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Babashoff versus Shara. Step forward.
21-year-old Grace Babashoff is suing fellow motorist, 21-year-old Maxwell Scherer, for hitting her car when he ran a red light.
Okay, this was a car accident. It's not a car on purpose. It's called a car accident. And each of you claim that the accident was the fault of the other. So, Ms. Babashoff, when did this accident happen?
It happened the morning of March 21st.
2014?
Yes.
And it happened there. Wherever
yes.
there is.
It happened on the corner of Georgia Street and Big Bear Boulevard.
Now, let's go over there. And the P is you.
Yes.
You were going to make a left-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
So you were coming from, point with your finger, coming from there.
Yeah.
And you had the right of way because the light, according to you, was green for you. And you were going to make a left turn.
Mm-hmm.
And point where the defendant was coming from.
He was coming from this way.
Now, if you had a green light, that meant he had a red light.
Exactly.
And as you were coming through the intersection, there was an impact.
Mm-hmm.
That's your story.
Yes.
And you were okay. He was okay. Bumper got damaged. You had no insurance.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Driving around without insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now you can step back.
What happened was I was dropping my girlfriend off coming through here. I dropped her off at the cafe and I drove around to Jeffries. I took a left onto the boulevard into the center lane. I waited for a Jeep to pass, got into the right-hand lane. Right around here, I noticed this light was still green. And as soon as I got to the intersection, I noticed she was just sitting in the middle of the intersection, but it was too late for me to stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So you said you had a green light.
Yes.
You had a green light. And no insurance.
Yes, I did not have insurance.
Why?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
That's why you agreed to follow her to the body shop, correct?
I agreed because I was nervous. I've never been in an accident
I'm very
before.
Nervous. I'm going to tell you what you should be nervous about. You should be nervous about having her as a girlfriend.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Grace Babashoff says fellow motorist Maxwell Scherer hit her car when he ran a red light. Maxwell claims it was Grace who ran a red light.
Now, make sure I find out the right reason why. Why are you driving around without insurance?
I recently broke my collarbone prior, and my bills were mixed up, and I couldn't afford it.
So then you don't drive.
I realized it expired just a day or two prior.
That's what everybody tells me. It just expired. I didn't get my mail. They didn't send me a notice, whatever it is. You have insurance now?
No, but I'm not driving my car right
now. I don't believe that for a second.
It's not running at all. It's just sitting in my driveway.
Uh-huh. I don't believe that at all. Now, other than the two of you, are there any other witnesses to this car accident? Passengers in the car? Where were you?
Oh, was it the gas station right there?
I was at the cafe at the bottom left corner.
Great. Now, you were at the gas station. Do you know the plaintiff? Had you ever seen her before?
Never, never.
Great. Could you stand up, please? Tell me your name.
My name's Jason Meng.
You were there on the 21st of March?
Yes, every morning.
What were you doing?
Every morning I go there and I get gas and coffee.
Okay. Show me exactly where you were in the gas station, Mr. Mason.
Well, there's a big window right here on the side, and I was talking to the clerk, and we happened to look right out of the window, and I seen a gentleman here smash into the side of her car. No screeching, no trying to stop.
Could you tell who had a green light and who had a red light?
Yeah, she had the right of way.
How do you know that?
I could see the light from the window here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there was another car stopped right here.
So there was a car stopped at the light?
There was a car stopped at the light, yeah. He went right past it, smashed the car. Me and Russell came out to make sure that he pulled over, and he pulled over, so then I went to work.
Well, how did she get your name?
She came to the shop that I work at.
Which shop?
It's Conklin Hot Rods, our body shop.
How did she know that you work there?
She didn't. She didn't know that. I didn't talk to her at the accident.
Okay. Stand over there. What's your boss's name?
Jim Conklin.
That would be you?
Yes.
How do you know the plaintiff?
They showed up at my shop for an estimate.
How else do you know the plaintiff?
She works with my girlfriend.
That's right.
It's a small town.
I understand that it's a small town. It's also a small world.
I hadn't met her before the accident. I met her when they were at my shop waiting for me to open.
Now, when you had this accident, how did you get to his shop?
There's only two auto shops in Big Bear. His was the closest to the accident, so I drove over there.
Well, that's reasonable. That's a reasonable explanation. And you didn't find out the relationship until later?
Yes.
And coincidentally, you not only worked there, but witnessed the accident?
Yes.
Great.
Yep.
You can sit down. Tell me your last name.
Gonzalez.
Did you know the defendant from before?
Oh, no, I've never met her.
He's the defendant.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know him. We live together. This is my boyfriend.
Oh, well, show me where you were.
I work at the Grizzly Manor Cafe, which is right here. Maxwell, 5 days out of the week, drives me to work.
He dropped you off at work, and then he came around. How could you see what was going on down the street?
He dropped me off in the front. I walk inside. I left something in the car that I needed to get from him before he left. So I went out to try to get a hold of him. And if the light was, I really recognize it being green.
Let me explain something to you. I don't believe a word you're saying. Sit down. Not a word.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter.
Now, it's an accident, and it wouldn't have been a problem if you had insurance. Do you understand?
Yes.
If you'd had insurance, what you would have been able to do is call the police, and the police would have come and taken a report, and they would have taken down the information, and they would have taken a statement, maybe from him if he was actually there, and maybe from her if they could find her at the corner where you dropped her off, maybe, right? But because you didn't have insurance, the police weren't called to do an accident report. Because she was probably a nice person. She did ask you for your insurance, didn't she?
Yes.
And you didn't have it, so that's why you agreed to follow her to the body shop, correct?
I agreed because I was nervous. I've never been in an accident
before.
Very
nervous. I'm going to tell you what you should be nervous about. You should be nervous about having her as a girlfriend. I wouldn't be worried about whether or not I went through a red light. But somebody who's got a sharp girlfriend like that is not a dope, because I don't think that she would be involved with a dope, right? So you followed her because you didn't have insurance. And you said, let's go and see how much it costs to have the bumper fixed. That's what happened. Now, how much was the bumper?
$2,840.64.
Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. Presides in primetime.
You're getting it, not me.
From New York's family court.
Clear, sir.
To America's favorite judge.
Start banging your head on the table and don't stop until I tell you.
Judge Judy's
first primetime special. Check your local listings.
I was trying to be a nice person, you know.
I clearly saw green.
I mean, I've been in a fender bender, no insurance.
And drove through the light.
I figured as long as he fixes it, it's fine.
And she was sitting in the intersection.
Once he heard the price, he didn't want to pay for it.
She was high.
I think it's funny because he was actually high when he hit me.
It's just an accident.
It's just an accident. I'm glad it's fixed. Justice was served.